Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Yesterday, it was announced that Dr. Billy Graham had passed away, and I am so thankful to know that he is in heaven with his dear wife, Ruth, and with so many saints who've gone before, no doubt being greeted by millions of people who want to say thank you. Dr. Graham was a great friend to me across the years, starting when I was 12 years old, and I look forward to seeing him again. I hope you will see us there as well. Trust in Jesus, and you will.
If you would please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter 15. We've been studying through the Gospel of Mark, and we come now to the chapter dealing with Jesus' death on the cross. So I hope that as we look at this together, the Lord will speak to all of us about the enormous price that was paid in order for us to be saved. Mark chapter 15, this is God's word. As soon as it was morning, having held a meeting with the elders, scribes, and the whole Sanhedrin, the chief priests tied Jesus up, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. So Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." And the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate questioned him again, "Aren't you going to answer? Look how many things they are accusing you of." But Jesus still did not answer. And so Pilate was amazed. At the festival, Pilate used to release for the people a prisoner whom they requested. There was one named Barabbas, who was in prison with rebels who had committed murder during the rebellion. The crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do for them as was his custom. Pilate answered them, "Do you want me to release the king of the Jews for you?" For he knew it was because of envy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd so that he would release Barabbas to them instead. Pilate answered them again, "And what do you want me to do with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Again they shouted, "Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Why? What has he done wrong?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. And after having Jesus flogged, he handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led him away into the palace, that is the governor's residence, and called the whole company together. They dressed him in a purple robe, twisted together a crown of thorns, and put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They were hitting him on the head with a stick and spitting on him. Getting down on their knees, they were paying him homage. After they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple robe and put his clothes on him. They led him out to crucify him. They forced a man coming in from the country who was passing by to carry Jesus' cross. He was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. They tried to give him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. Then they crucified him and divided his clothes, casting lots for them to decide what each would get. Now it was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge written against him was, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two criminals with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by were yelling insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "Ha! The one who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourself by coming down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests with the scribes were mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross so that we may see and believe." Even those who were crucified with him taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you abandoned me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "See, he's calling for Elijah." Someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, fixed it on a stick, offered him a drink, and said, "Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down." Jesus let out a loud cry and breathed his last. Then the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who was standing opposite him saw the way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, the younger, and of Joses and Salome. In Galilee, these women followed him and took care of him. Many other women had come up with him to Jerusalem. When it was already evening, because it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the Sanhedrin who was himself looking forward to the kingdom of God, came and boldly went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had already died. When he found out from the centurion, he gave the corpse to Joseph. After he bought some linen cloth, Joseph took him down and wrapped him in the linen. Then he laid him in a tomb cut out of the rock and rolled a stone against the entrance to the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, were watching where he was laid. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The custom was to put a sign over the head of the person being executed saying what crime they had committed. The sign over Jesus' head read, "The King of the Jews." Pilate had it written in three languages so that no one could miss it. Anybody passing by could read. The crime that Jesus was guilty of was being the King of the Jews. Now, the Jewish leaders, of course, resented that. We read in one of the other Gospels that they said, "Don't say the King of the Jews, say he claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate responded, "What I've written, I've written." It really all came down to, is Jesus who he claimed to be? The Jewish leaders said, "Blasphemy. He's making himself equal with God." When we asked him about these things, he made himself equal with God. What's the problem? Well, the problem is that would be blasphemy for anybody who's not equal with God. But Jesus is God. Jesus, who said to those who were questioning him, "I tell you the truth, before Abraham was, I am." Now, that's not just odd grammar. He was taking the name of God, I am, and applying it to himself. And it wasn't lost on his enemies. They knew what he was claiming. And they refused to believe. But here's the fact. He is God. He's not running for office. He's not hoping to be elevated. He's not thinking that maybe if he plays his cards right, he could get a promotion. God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ and offered his life in place of ours. Why did anybody have to die? Because we've sinned. All of us have sinned and broken God's law and deserve God's wrath. And so God became one of us and took the punishment on himself. That is the miracle that's happening here. When he was brought before Pontius Pilate, they had bound him. Now picture this. The God who created all things allows himself to be tied with ropes and brought before a sub-king, a governor. And everybody else in the room thinks they have the power. They all think that they're getting their way, doing their will, carrying out their plan. Jesus is tied up. Oh, we've got him now. Do you remember that after he raised Lazarus from the dead, his enemies said, "We can't let this stuff keep happening. We're going to have to kill him." When they said that, did it dawn on you what an idiotic plan that is? Jesus has just demonstrated that he's stronger than death. And what is their plan? Let's kill him. We've got to stop him. Now they've tied him with ropes. It wasn't the ropes that held him. It wasn't the nails that held him. They stood and they mocked him and they said, "Why don't you come on down from the cross? Save yourself." He had the power to do so. But if he had done so, he would not have saved us. It wasn't that he couldn't save himself. It was that the only way to save us was for him to die. And so he took our place. He took our punishment. He bore the wrath of God. And that's why this is so amazing. The things that Jesus said, and we only have a partial account of what Jesus said on the cross in Mark's gospel. Mark, as we've said before, gives a very abbreviated account of things. He leaves out a lot of details that the other gospel writers put in because Mark wants to focus on the heart of the matter. And therefore, every detail that he includes is not only inspired by the Holy Spirit, but it is very important for us to understand the overall message. And he includes some interesting details that the other gospel writers don't include. Because under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he is zeroing in like a laser focus on those things which we need to know in order to get the message that God put in his heart. When Jesus cried out on the cross, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," he was quoting the opening line of one of the Psalms. Many of the Jews would have had that psalm memorized. It was a song, a famous song. And if you were to go back and read that psalm, you find out not only that Messiah was to die, but that Messiah was going to conquer death, that he would be vindicated by God, and that he would receive his reward. Jesus' disciples may not have gotten it. The crowd standing around may not have gotten it. But after the fact, it would reinforce once again what we already quoted from 1 Corinthians 15, and that is that he died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He did exactly what God had said was going to happen for the purpose that God had said that it would accomplish. And Jesus didn't just die and then stay dead. He died and rose again. In these verses, we see him being mocked. And again, why was he mocked? What was the thing they zeroed in on? Well, they made him a crown of thorns. They put a purple robe on him. They're saying, you claim to be a ruler. We don't accept your rule. That has been the problem with mankind all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to be my own boss. I'm going to have it my way. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to do what I want to do because I don't like being told what to do. That's human nature. God says, you can eat the fruit of any of the trees in the garden except that one. Don't eat the fruit of that tree. What did we do? We ate the fruit of that tree. I mean, why would they tell us don't do it unless it's really good? Okay? If we're told not to, it must be something we want. That's the perversity of the sinful human heart. We want to do whatever we're told not to, and we don't want to do what we're told to do. It's not just some of us. It's all of us. And so the real problem with Jesus is that he's the king. He's the ruler. And the response of the human heart, whether you're a Jew or a Roman, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, Gentiles are everybody but Jews. So whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, the response of the human heart is to say, you're not my king. And the irony is, we will be slaves to anything else in order to resist being slave to the one who alone is worthy of our worship and obedience. People are willing to be enslaved by drugs, alcohol, sexual sin, money, anything, if it provides a distraction from being God's obedient servant. And so, they mocked him. They beat him. They spit on him. And they began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. Getting down on their knees, they were paying him homage. And after they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple robe and put his own clothes back on him and led him out to kill him. And as he hangs there dying with a sign over his head that says, King of the Jews, the people are still mocking him. The criminals on either side mock him, though thank God one of them repents. But he's mocked and mocked over and over. They think it's funny to laugh at Jesus, to torment him with their words, because he claimed to be king. He claimed to be the Christ, and he can't even save himself. He was saving us. He was saving us. Even as they said that about him, he was saving us. And what they could only see after was that the curtain in the temple that separated people from God's holy presence, that curtain was torn in two from top to bottom, because now the way was opened so that those who trust in Jesus can come into the holiest of holies and have intimate relation with God himself. That was what Jesus accomplished. It looked as if he was a victim. It looked as if somehow he had lost. Jesus was enduring the wrath of God even as he bore the torture of man. Jesus was accomplishing for us the payment of a debt that we could not repay. He was paying it all off. There is nothing insufficient about the atonement. Jesus was able to say from that cross, "It is finished." It's one of the details Mark does not record, but I cannot tell you about the crucifixion without mentioning that. He used an accounting term, tetelestai, which means the debt is paid, the account is settled. There's nothing else to pay. It's all taken care of. That's why the curtain was torn from top to bottom. You and I need to realize what he did and that he did it for us. Because if you really come to know that, it will absolutely transform your life. You will realize that you owe him everything. There isn't anything you've got that you can cling to and hold on to as your own. This is mine, leave it alone. Everything, everything we owe to him. And so, Jesus hung and died there on that cross. But it was not because things had spun out of control. Even his burial was as prophesied. The details of what happened to him were in accordance with God's word. Everything was as God had planned. You say, well, how could God possibly plan the death of his son? Because it was the only way to save us. And God's love for you is not something you deserve, but it is something that he lavishes on us. When Jesus died, one of the members of the Sanhedrin, who clearly was not in favor of what had happened, one who was looking forward to the kingdom of God, came, and I love this, verse 43, boldly went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised that he was already dead, but summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he'd already died, and when he found out from the centurion, he gave the corpse to Joseph. After he bought some linen cloth, Joseph took him down, wrapped him in the linen, and then laid him in a tomb cut out of the rock and rolled a stone against the entrance to the tomb. We haven't come to it yet, but I can't wait. Jesus rose from the dead. He conquered death. He's stronger than death. And as a result, you and I don't have to be afraid of death. Jesus died to remove everything that separated us from God. And then he conquered death. And so you and I can live with confidence and with joy, knowing that our Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.